Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. Our mission is to make analytics practical. This is not about abstract theory, but to share true stories of how using analytics helps real-life businesses with real-life constraints make the best possible decisions to compete, grow, and thrive. I'm your host, A.G. Tan. I don't have a guest this week, folks. Instead, I want to talk about an application of analytics that is critical to our global economic recovery in a very real way. This story is about jobs and the availability of food and toilet paper and whatever else you need. By extension, it's about our communities and opportunities for ourselves and our children. It's about quality of life in the long run. We're all used to looking at business performance in terms of metrics like revenue, profit, or customer growth. These are all valuable metrics that we should look at, but they do not capture the quality of the decisions made by managers. Let me explain. We have a tendency to assume that a profitable company is a well-managed and well-run company. That may be true some of the time, but after over 20 years of seeing companies from the inside as a consultant, I know for a fact that it is not universally true. Frankly, and this may surprise you, some companies are profitable and successful due to dumb luck. Perhaps they happen to be in businesses where there is little competition and a lot of demand. Or they may have a handful of operational managers that execute really well, masking weaknesses in other parts of the business. And as long as top-line revenue is strong, it's easy for their executives to pat themselves on the back and congratulate themselves for doing a great job because, well, because no one is asking what I think the real question should be. How much more profitable could they be if they had better management practices? The reason this question isn't asked is because in normal times, it's hard to measure. But then something like the COVID-19 pandemic comes along. Suddenly, the easy revenue dries up and margins come under pressure. Now what? Now it suddenly matters. Companies that have made the analytics investments to support good data-driven decision-making and, this is important, have changed their culture so that they can act on the analytics, these are the companies that will weather the storm and then thrive at the other end of the crisis. It's a wake-up call and an opportunity to do better. The heroes of my story today are financial analysts who perform the analytics function at the heart of every company's strategy and operations. It's the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic of 2020. Businesses faced with unprecedented uncertainty are asking questions such as, if revenue drops by 30%, how long before we can't cover our operating costs? How does the falling price of oil impact our P&L? What investments can we make now to ensure we emerge from the slowdown in a position of competitive strength? What will it cost to improve supply chain resilience going forward? Each of these are examples of forward-looking questions, and getting to a precise answer for any of them is impossible. But going through the process of asking and then analyzing the range of possibilities can make all the difference. Planning ahead is a way to buy time to prepare and is especially critical today. This kind of analysis is performed every day in every company of any scale across the world by financial analysts. They work in different parts of the business, including FP&A, financial planning and analysis, S&OP, also known as sales and operational planning, strategic planning, and even treasury, who have a cash focus. Right now, they're working even longer hours than usual, redoing forecasts and creating new plans on a near continual basis so that business executives will have the information they need to make the best possible decisions. Better decisions increase the chances of business survival and long-term success. Every business that survives and grows serves the community by employing people and by making its products and services available. If every restaurant goes out of business, we'll have no restaurants to go to. If every grocery store goes out of business, we'll have no place to buy groceries, and so on. Every business that makes it safely through the pandemic should remember to thank its financial analysts, who are working in overdrive to do this important work. Their efforts are often unrecognized. After all, when did you last hear of a financial analyst being celebrated in your company? The best salesperson may win the Salesperson of the Year award, and the best engineer may be hailed as a genius, and the successful CEO may win accolades for implementing a cool new business model. And yet, unless you have a disproportionate amount of good luck, the work of financial analysts will save your company's bacon. So here's the big mystery. Why is the contribution of financial analysts so invisible, and why is so little invested in giving financial analysts the modeling tools they need to do their jobs? In fact, it's shocking how poorly this need is understood, even by financial analysts. Let me explain by describing the components of an analyst's task. First, you need trustworthy, up-to-date data at the correct granularity and level of detail to serve your purpose. Data gives you an accurate starting point, and history gives you a baseline to compare against. It sounds simple, but it can get complicated because the data that you need to answer your question may come from multiple different systems that may differ in their granularity. A simple example might be that one system may have data by the hour, another system may have it by the day or the week or the month, and these two systems need to be lined up before you can work with it. Next, you need models. Different planning or forecasting problems will require different models, which may be built using different kinds of mathematical and programmatic tools. Often, a combination of tools may be needed. For example, statistical tools to forecast demand using artificial intelligence techniques, which may be overlaid with assumption-driven constructive models to project that demand on the financial statements. And finally, you may want to use optimization tools to incorporate capacity constraints so that you are making a realistic forecast. An example of that would be, suppose you're in a company that manufactures widgets and your demand forecast model forecasts that you will be able to sell 1,000 widgets in June. Let's assume that your manufacturing capacity may not be able to produce 1,000 widgets in June. Now, if you've built a model and you've analyzed it ahead of time, perhaps you can get in front of this issue so that you'll be able to take full advantage of the forecasted demand. Perhaps by running your factories round the clock instead of from 9 to 5 as you normally do. Next, you need good collaboration and integration. In any company of reasonable scale, let's say a medium to large business, one analyst will typically go very deep into just one part of the business. So you need the collaboration of many analysts and the integration of all their data and models to get to the big picture. Not only that, some models require contributions from across the company so that the inherent knowledge of frontline personnel is infused into the process. This may mean collecting data from hundreds or thousands of frontline people and collating it and pulling it together in a central place and then incorporating it with other parts of the model or other models and other data. Now, once you have all that in place, you need analytical reporting tools to communicate the results of the analyses and, equally importantly, to explain the conclusions. People do not tend to trust black boxes, and making sure that you have a way to explain your model is extremely important, or all your work may be wasted. Now, most analysts today still rely heavily on spreadsheet software like Excel to do all these things. Some are also acquiring data science skills and leveraging tools like R. Often, these are time-consuming ad hoc exercises that involve extensive manual data preparation and model manipulation even before you can get to the integration, collaboration, and analytical reporting parts. In other words, it's impossible to do quickly and well at any kind of scale under normal circumstances, but the pandemic has increased the frequency and the number of scenarios that need to be considered. If it looks like the financial analysts and your company are getting it done, believe me, they're doing it at great personal cost by giving up their nights, their weekends, and time with their families. And it's frustrating for them because the effort to pull everything together leaves little time for the most important part, quality analysis. It's a heroic effort by any measure. So let's get back to the big mystery. If this work is so important that it can save jobs and keep groceries in the stores, for example, why don't analysts always have the right tools? I don't know for certain, but I have three theories. Theory one is the shoot yourself in the foot theory. I believe that talented financial analysts enjoy a good challenge and derive satisfaction from solving difficult problems. They also tend to be a pretty hardy bunch and not ones to complain. There's nothing wrong with that unless you feel so compelled to deliver that you will sacrifice nights and weekends to work around deficiencies in your toolset. Your boss may be appreciative, but she doesn't feel any of your pain, and so she blithely expects you to do the same again and again. Perhaps you think, as a financial analyst, that you'll be recognized for your effort, but maybe you don't realize that business executives, especially the ones further up the chain, all they see is the end result. And so you end up, sadly, shooting yourself in the foot by making it look too easy. And that, in turn, further devalues your effort. Theory two is the I don't know what I don't know theory. Spreadsheets, and Excel in particular, are a purpose-built programming language for financial analysts. It's so easy to introduce variables and build chains of formulas off those variables to create a real-time interactive model reflecting complicated business logic with total control and agility that it's hard to imagine getting the job done in any other way. Powerful planning, modeling, software platform tools do exist, but once you have shot yourself in the foot with theory number one, you don't have any time left to explore what's available. And even if you did, your boss might not see the need to invest because you always get it done so apparently effortlessly. Now, theory three is the where's the market theory. This is similar to the I don't know what I don't know theory, but from the point of view of the technology companies who might create better tools for financial analysts to use, but don't. Most professional programmers and software engineers are not also financial analysts. I think that's safe to say. They look at how easy Excel is to use, and it is easy to get started, and they mistakenly assume that a model built up of mere sums, products, and ratios is trivial, that there's really nothing there. They have no idea how complex business models can get because often they do not understand business or its rhythms or the importance of timing. We end up with an enormous opportunity gap between financial analysts who need powerful tools but have no idea what is technically possible and technology companies who are capable of creating these tools but who have no idea that there is a gaping need to be filled in the modeling space. I'm hopeful that the COVID-19 pandemic will help us solve the big mystery, Because the business executives who are trying to stay in front of their best and worst case scenarios on a weekly or daily basis will discover that the financial analysts, not because of want of effort, but they simply cannot get it done no matter how many late nights and weekends they put in, and no matter how many extra bodies they throw at the problem. This will, I hope, force a search for better planning software solutions, which will broaden the market and increase competitiveness. And perhaps, some talented technologist will embrace the opportunity to invent innovative modeling tools for financial analysts and raise the bar. After all, the size of the market is pretty decent. It's frankly every growing company in the world. Until then, let's pause for a moment to appreciate our financial analysts, whether they're operational planners, financial forecasters, treasury managers, or serve some other part of the business. When they are empowered to do their jobs with the right tools and sufficient business process support, business process is very important, and they're able to deliver timely analysis to the decision makers who need it, they, the financial analysts, will be central to a successful economic recovery, one company at a time. These are heroes worth celebrating, aren't they? Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. Do stay in touch. You can email us at info@quebit.com or check out past episodes and transcripts at qubit.com/podcast. Until next time, take care.